I remember watching a Jordan Peterson video a while ago, and he makes an interesting observation, which is something that we would have heard, I suppose, back in our theological studies back in the day. It's like an ethical principle. So how do we decide what's right and how do we decide what's wrong? And he gives us this simple principle, which is, if everyone were to do what I'm doing, would this be good? So would it be good that everyone speeds? No, because then there'll be more accidents, more people will get hurt, so it's not a good thing. Would it be good that everyone avoids paying their taxes? Well, then no, because then we wouldn't have roads and hospitals and teachers and all the rest. So it's an interesting way of just kind of working out whether what we're doing is right or wrong. Would it be good, like, for no one to go to church? Well, no, because what we do when we come here, this changes us. And it changes the world far more than we realize. Like I was saying, was it yesterday, when the other day before, for my jury duty, talking to this guy who I met, we were just waiting to whether we would be called or not into the jury, and he was just discussing or describing his experiences in Nepal and how there, because there isn't a recognition of each person being equal, people use each other. Right, so if you're a higher caste, if you're higher up in the echelons of society there, you use those who are lower than you. You use the poor. Why not? Well, it's plain obvious to us why not, because each person has the same dignity before God, so we have to treat people equally. It's obvious to us, but it's not obvious to everyone. Where did this idea come from? This is a Christian idea. You know, the common good, that we work and we do things and we try to make decisions that benefit the common good, not just me. So it's an interesting idea. So when we make decisions, like, would it be good if everyone did what I'm doing now? So if I decide to get drunk, is this a good idea for everyone to get drunk? No, not even on New Year's, no. It's not a good idea. Therefore, is this a good action? No. Okay, don't do it. Now, obviously, the knowing it's right or wrong is a world apart from deciding whether I will follow that course of action. Everybody who smokes knows it's bad to smoke, but people smoke anyway. Everyone who, you know, does drugs knows that it's risky or it's dangerous, but they do it anyway. So knowing it's wrong and deciding for it are two very different things. But that's a slightly side issue. We won't go into that now. In our reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear this very important word. So God raised Jesus from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had accompanied him from Galilee to Jerusalem. And it is these same companions of his who are now his witnesses before our people. Witnesses. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. You are my witnesses. So each of us is called not just to be part of the Christian faith or just be part of the Catholic Church, but to witness to that out there. Now, for some people gravitate towards leadership. And if something needs to be done, then let's do it. And who will lead the charge? I will. Yesterday we had a little group meeting for a group that's going to represent us at U2000, and we asked amongst them who would like to kind of head up, you know, be kind of the responsible for the group and put together the program. And everyone kind of looks awkwardly at the floor, and then one guy says, I will, I elect myself. You know, I just straight into it, like, it needs to be done, I'll do it. Let's stop faffing about, let's just get it done, I'll do it. You know, some people have no problem stepping up to leadership. Other people would rather the ground opened up and swallowed them whole than have to be responsible for other people, you know. I think it probably goes a little bit with our temperaments. Like those who are choleric, we just don't like faffing about. If it needs to be done, can we just get it done, please? Whereas those who are phlegmatic, sure, it'll be grand in a month's time. No problem, sure. Look, there's no point stressing. We're all going to die anyway. So just kind of by nature, I think they kind of step back from leadership. Generally, they would be the most forthcoming. So then leading... leadership, it comes naturally to some and it's abhorrent to others. But all of us are called to be witnesses, which means all of us are called to have a certain amount of leadership. Again, it doesn't mean making yourself important or pushing yourself forward, but people see what we do. So going back to what we were saying earlier about would it be good if everyone followed my behavior? You see, to a degree, all of us are, you know, influencers. Sorry to use the contemporary term, but there you go. All of us influence others, okay? All of us influence others. It's like back in the day when my mom used to get her glossy magazines of Hello, the Hello magazines. I'm not sure if it's still in print. Is it? Is it? No, I don't know. Apparently it still is, okay. So, and you see the lives of the rich and famous. Now, you see, all of these things, if you are a public person, if your life is in some way, you know, famous, if you're famous, what you do in some way influences the culture as a whole, okay? So if, for example, all of the stars and the rich and famous were, you know, generous and were faithful in their marriages and were good God-fearing people, this would positively affect the culture, because now people see the stars and the politicians and whoever else, and they're faithful people. So it makes fidelity, makes Christianity or Catholicism more credible. If, on the other hand, generally speaking, all of those lives of the rich and famous tend towards a different lifestyle, an alternative lifestyle, you know, infidelity in marriage and second, third, fourth, fifth wives, and yes, lots of money, but you know, massive houses, massive cars, all kind of, you know, external displays of wealth, but kind of, so what? Like, what are they doing for humanity? But it still looks like a fantastic life, the life that everyone would want to have. This also affects the culture out there. It affects how, you know, it affects our values. What do we see as something we should be striving for? Well, I should strive in my life for money and power and influence and, you know, lots of intimacy. Let's just phrase it that way. You know, that's what I should strive for, because that's what everyone is doing. It seems to be working. But back to what we were saying earlier, this principle of this ethical principle. If everyone were to do this, would this be good for society? Well, no. No, it wouldn't. Because we see this is what has started to happen. People striving for ever greater sums of money, ever greater comfort, ever greater pleasure, and the consequences, the effects of that are absolute chaos. Families falling apart, kids not having the support of home, torn between different parents and new boyfriends and girlfriends of their parents, and all this confusion that it brings. And then they're led into this kind of hedonistic society as well, where they then as teens or in their early 20s are pursuing pleasure after pleasure. And again, what's the net consequence of all of that? Emptiness. Emptiness. Meaninglessness. So, now I'm not blaming the rich and famous on this, but I'm just saying each one of us has the power to influence the culture to a degree. Some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree, but all of us are witnesses. All of us are called to be witnesses. So I can't necessarily affect the country, but I can affect a few people around me. They can affect a few people around them. They can affect a few people around them. And before you know it, the culture starts to change, the mentality. I remember in the maybe early 90s, when we would, when, I don't blame my mom for everything now, but when my mom would kind of somewhat guiltily watch the program Dallas. A few people might remember what that was. It was a program back in the day about a rich family, a rich oil family in Dallas, Texas, and just their various, you know, problems. You know, what a really expensive car will I buy today? Who will I sleep with tonight? You know, all these really important problems. But it was scandalous. It was in the 90s. Their lifestyle or their nighttime activity, their behavior was shocking. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, should I be watching this? Maybe I shouldn't. Like, it was kind of a guilty pleasure, right? But we somehow instinctively knew this wasn't right. This isn't how we're supposed to live. Whereas now, if you watch Coronation Street, EastEnders, Fair City, or any of those, that kind of behaviour is absolutely common. But not only is it common now on TV, it's common in society. So our culture has changed. Whereas before, like, marital fidelity would have been considered a priority, something that's very important, to keep the family together. Now, that is not as much of a priority at all. So the culture, again, it is a generation later, but the culture has changed. So those who influence society and influence culture influenced it in a negative way. So now we're moving further and further away from God. The next generation will have even weaker family values because it's not a priority. So it's a terrible reality that at times we get what we want. At times we get exactly what we wished for. But if what we wish for isn't virtuous, if what we wish for isn't God's will, then we may get exactly what we want. You wanted poison, you got poison. You wanted to eat chocolate all day, don't be surprised that your teeth fall out. You know, you wanted to engage in a behavior that was harmful, okay, but the consequences are yours. So to phrase it positively, all of us here in the chapel, and all of you watching at home, we can change the world, but I can start by changing me. I can change me. So if I try to direct my life according to what God wants, if I ask myself before engaging, especially in more important actions, Lord, what do you want here? You don't have to get into some sort of a conniption over what will I have for breakfast. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to, you know, sit in a half hour discerning what you should, if it's cornflakes or Rice Krispies. It doesn't really matter. But for more important decisions, like, Lord, what do you want here? What do you want here? And the more I learn to do that, the more I learn to respond to that, the more I learn to be kind of malleable in the Lord's hands, the more then society can change. And it actually can change for the good. It can change for the good. We're not bound to this careering down the slope of immorality. Like, this isn't it's not like there's nothing we can do. But we start by changing ourselves and then being a witness to those around us. And if we're a good witness, well, then those we witness to, it's not 100% foolproof, but you know what I mean, those I witness to can in turn witness to others. And then little by little, yes, the culture can change. The culture can change. But it starts with me. It starts with my fidelity. And hopefully it starts today. The Lord promises us so much. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still, and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. If there were not, I should have told you. For I am going now to prepare a place for you. And after I have gone and prepared you a place, I shall return to take you with me, so that where I am, you may be too. This is what the Lord wants for us. Eternal happiness with him in heaven. And if we authentically and truly love those around us, that's what we want for them too. So this being a witness, I mean, this is important. There's actually nothing more important. That I direct my heart towards the Lord, I follow his will, and then that I witness to him within my circle of influence. So we ask the Lord today to bring about this renewal of his church, to bring it about today, and to start with me.